preliminary results for the cannabis legislation and euthanasia referenda will be out later today. Now, unlike recreational cannabis, the assisted dying referendum is binding. Catherine Marks was the lawyer for euthanasia campaigner Lucretia Seals and helped draft the End of Life Choice Bill. And Peter Thirkell is secretary of the anti-euthanasia group Care Alliance. They both join me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Catherine, if I could start with you first. How are you feeling? I mean, are you optimistic? The polls would suggest that this will pass.
Yes, definitely. The polls have been pretty consistent, around 60%, which suggests that it will be a positive, you know, initial result today.
So are you planning a little ceremony to watch the numbers come through or anything?
There will be a few of us getting together, yes. I've got Lucretia's parents down staying with me, so that's very nice.
Peter, your view, are you resigned to this passing, or do you think there could have been a late change?
Well, there's always the possibility of a late change. You know, what counts most is what people do in the polling booth. And we felt our role along, Corin, was to inform New Zealanders as well as we could, not on just some of the aspects and implications of the Act, but on all of its likely effects. So the better informed people are, the better the decision and the outcome will be.
Catherine, just talk me through the process if this is passed today and then confirmed a week or so later. What is the process for this piece of legislation coming into force? When will it come into force? That sort of thing.
Well, the Act's already been passed. So as soon as you have the final results, which is on the 6th of November, it becomes law and it comes into force 12 months later. So that will be the 6th, 7th of November next year. And there are a number of things that need to be done, which is why there's a 12-month delay. In Victoria and Australia, I think there were 18 months, so they have to set up a SENS group that gets a list of doctors. They have to set up a registrar, a review committee, the standard forms to be prepared, and that type of thing.
So the Ministry of Health presumably can't, as you say, can't do that unless it knows that it's passed. So it's got a year to get everything sorted.
That's right.
Peter, what now for the opponents of this bill, if it does pass? Would you continue to fight to have it repealed? What would be the approach?
Well, yes, Colin, the reason there are opponents is that, you know, people are genuinely concerned about this Act. As you've noted, it's now in law, and if it passes, then it comes into force essentially automatically in 12 months' time. And we believe that the safeguards aren't nearly adequate or sufficient, that it places, you know, people in vulnerable circumstances at risk, and there are other concerns. So we would certainly want to see some emphasis on strengthening the safeguards, you know, particularly around coercion and pressure. Basically, one doctor has to do his or her best to try and determine if someone's under pressure, and based on overseas experience, in our view, that isn't nearly safe enough and that places people at risk.
How would you go about making those changes, though? I mean, there is a review built into this law, isn't there, after 3 years? Would it not be reasonable to wait and see how it has progressed and whether any of those concerns were in fact borne out?
Well, to some extent, yes. But also, as Catherine described, there's regulations that need to be placed. We think that, you know, the law just sets out requirements, but we would want to see strengthening around the tests for coercion and pressure. And that could be done through some of the processes and procedures that are laid down in place over the next 12 months.
Do you have sorry, Catherine, carry on.
No, I'm just saying, look, we've heard these things about coercion and pressure, and there's multiple safeguards in the Act. And I think what we'll find is, we'll see what's happened in Victoria, where it's come in. They've had their first year report. There's been, I think, 124 people used it. There were 272 applications, so some weren't eligible. But the reports have been that almost all of them had terminal cancer. They were near the end of their life. And the regulator of the Act over there said that she looked for coercion really hard, didn't find any of any type. But what she did find were people who were really grateful. The feedback, she said, has been predominantly about how peaceful it was, how it was fabulous for my parent and loved one. And I think if we're looking forward, we're going to see the same sort of responses in New Zealand. I mean, this Act isn't about ending people's life. It's helping dying people have a better death when they're suffering terribly.
As I mentioned, there is that three-year review. Would you envisage that if that raised concerns about people feeling they didn't have access because of that six-month terminal diagnosis, that might be something that would be looked at by future parliaments, or you would like to see looked at?
Look, if you look at Oregon, it's been in place there for 23 years and there's been no changes at all. I mean, this is a very strict bill, but we'll see what the feedback is. And if there are any issues about access, that will be something for Parliament to consider in the future. But, you know, chances are it will just remain as it is.
And just finally from you, Peter, your response to that, is that a concern, I guess, come review time around that?
Well, yes, it is. I mean, you know, Catherine cites Oregon. Oregon's a state, not a country. If you look at the Netherlands, if you look at Canada, the criteria have broadened significantly over the last few years, and we believe it's inevitable that the reach of this legislation will simply increase over time, and it'll have, we believe, not good effects on the practice of palliative medicine. You know, Catherine's mentioned the good aspect of, from her point of view in Victoria, but others in Australia in palliative medicine are reporting that it's causing severe difficulties in teams and some of the approaches to palliative medicine, and we remain concerned about that.
Okay, Peter, thank you very much for that. Peter Thirkell there, Secretary of the Anti-Euthanasia Group Care Alliance, also speaking to Catherine Marks, who helped draft the End of Life Choice Bill.